Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. To God be the glory. We thank God for today. This is God's day he has made. We are rejoicing. We are glad in it. Hallelujah. It's a good day. As Mr. Reggie Brown used to often say, a good day to be alive. We thank God for those of you listening and tuning in tonight to Word Wednesday. The Word says, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the Word of God, the Word of truth. So we thank God for a Bible study. We thank God as we exegete and go into the study of God's Word, that we get more mature in the things of God. Part of our mission at New Creation is to simply educate, empower, encourage, and edify, you know, and emancipate us from the bondage of the enemy. He has had so many of us in bondage for too long. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So there's a part we must play in our freedom and our deliverance. But God, amen, He is available to do the impossible. To God be the glory. So I want everything that God has laid up for me. I want everything that God has in mind for me. And I want to do my part to obtain it and possess it. And that's what we're going to share and talk about tonight. Faith under fire. Faith under fire. There was a movie that my wife and I watched. Maybe you're familiar with the movie, The Antoinette Tough Story. And the name of the movie, T.D. Jakes, I believe, produced it, directed it, called Faith Under Fire. That's actually where I got the title for tonight's message. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Faith Under Fire. So we thank God. Thank God for the movie, which really touched me in a mighty way, because this woman really did exemplify faith under fire. I'm not going to give you the movie, but a very quick version. There was a gunman that went into an elementary school, and this lady had to have just courage and talk this gunman down from doing something unthinkable. And she did it. She was afraid, but she kept her faith. She quoted the scriptures, and she quoted the word of God, and she demonstrated faith under fire. So if you can Google it, if you can get your DVR or your Netflix video and punching Faith Under Fire, the Antoinette Tough Story, it will bless you. Amen. But go to the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. Joshua, chapter number 1. We're actually in Joshua, chapter number 1. We're going to see courage under fire. But it's simply faith under fire. Joshua is the successor to Moses. And we know how great Moses was. Moses was a great leader. Moses was a form of a deliverer. He allowed the people of God to come out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery, so much so, like the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that has brought you and I out of our bondage. Moses was considered a deliverer of God's people. But in Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 3, it says this in Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Verse number 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall you divide the inheritance of the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be you strong and courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law should not depart out of your mouth. Help us, God. But you shall meditate on the word day and night, to observe to do according to as it is written. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and have good success.
Amen.
Have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, be not dismayed, for I, the Lord your God, is with you wherever you go. We see Moses, the successor, Joshua, the successor to Moses. God is telling him to be strong. Remember, we talked about being strong in the spirit. And God is telling Joshua to be courageous. So, Joshua, where I'm taking you, the people of God, into the promised land, the land of Canaan, I need you to remain strong, and I need you to be courageous. Because we know that sometimes people are just used to familiarity. And they were used to Moses leading. They were used to Moses being in charge. They were used to Moses with the 10 plagues and being the one to allow Pharaoh to bow down under the mighty hand and rulership of Almighty God. Moses stood up to Pharaoh. So Joshua, who is Joshua to follow such a great man as Moses? But God was with him.
Amen.
And sometimes when we need faith under fire, in the day in which we're living, we're going to find ourselves in many cases in the minority. Those of us who are Christian, those of us who are believers, those of us that walk by faith and not by sight, those of us who are strong spiritually and who are called by his name, the redeemed of the Lord. We are a peculiar people. And sometimes we're going to be looked at with disdain. We're going to be looked down upon. We're going to find ourselves needing to have faith under fire. There's so many of us, and God is watching because, you know, our faith will be tested. It will be on trial in many cases, and people are watching, especially God. And I'm not telling you to, you know, to go and do something out of your comfort zone or to go and do something out of your character, but I am saying there are going to be times in your Christian walk that you are going to need faith under fire. There's some risk that we're going to have to take if we want to really want to please God. We're in a day where so many people seem to want to compromise or kind of be on the fence with different things, kind of be objective and kind of be on kind of both sides of the aisle. And God is saying, choose this day whom you will serve. Amen. If God be God, serve him. If Baal or Beelzebub or, you know, Dagon be God, serve them. And God is telling you and I sometimes he wants us to be ambassadors and representatives for him in the earth realm. Amen. So he told Joshua, be strong and be courageous. I want to move through this world quickly to show you how God was not just with Joshua, God is with you and me also. Look at chapter number 3 if you're still in Joshua. Chapter number 3, verse number 7. God is reaffirming what he just said to Joshua in chapter number 1. He says this, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And you shall command the priests to bear the ark of the covenant when they come to the brink of the water of the Jordan. They shall stand in the Jordan. Verse number 13. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of their feet. Come on, somebody. As they got to have faith. You have to have faith to believe that God, they've heard about the Red Sea. They were there. Moses held and stretched his rod out. And Joshua and Caleb and the people of God went across the Red Sea on dry land. Can God do a repeat performance? Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Now, this is a river. This is not as big as the Red Sea. But to show the people of God that God is with Joshua like he was with Moses, God got to do a similar feat. Amen? So he said, as soon as their feet hit the water and they got the ark above them, Verse 13. As soon as it shall come to pass, the soles of the feet, the priest shall bear the ark of the Lord of the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, my God, from the waters that come from above, and they shall stand upon on a heap. It said that, unlike Moses, the raising up the rod, he said we need to walk by faith and not by sight. Faith without works is dead, James said. Amen. And when we have faith under fire, they had to get in the water. They had to keep moving toward the water with this ark above their shoulders, believing God that they're not going to drown, but they're going to move forward, and God is going to keep his word to Joshua that the waters will part. And God did so. So Joshua, he did what God asked him to do. He was courageous. He was strong. He was obedient to God's instruction. And that's what God is asking somebody tonight. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God wants us to obey his word, people of God. I just shared with you, it's not going to be easy in our day because sometimes you're going to find yourself in the minority. I never forget, as a new believer, I felt so uncomfortable. There was a McDonald's in the area, in the city in which I work in. And, you know, our bishop used to tell us, you know, don't be ashamed to pray in a public restaurant. You know, bless your food. Say grace over your food. And the first time I said grace and I blessed that Big Mac and those fries and that shake, I felt so stupid. I felt so awkward. I said, I'm praying publicly. This feels jacked up. I wasn't used to it. I was a new believer. I was embarrassed. But now me and my wife, we'll go to a diner. We'll go to Red Lobster. We'll go to Outback Steakhouse. And we'll do a, you ain't got to make no scene. Just a little quick prayer. Bless your food publicly. Not to show people who you are in God. Just to say, Lord, I thank you for this meal that I'm about to receive in Jesus' name. So we bless the food at Thanksgiving. We bless the food, you know, whether it's my private meal or family meal. It's something I've become accustomed to. And now I feel comfortable when I pray in public or I say grace over my food. And that's kind of faith under fire. Because sometimes in a public restaurant, we're going to feel awkward. We're going to feel embarrassed. We're going to feel ashamed. And sometimes God is saying, you know, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul wrote. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Amen, somebody. But let's look at the result of Joshua, who had faith under fire. Look at Joshua chapter number 12. Joshua chapter number 12. Look at this right here. He had strength. He had courage. And look at what it said, because he had strength and courage. Look at verse number 7. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side of Jordan. And he goes on to list a ton of kings. I'm not going to say them all. If you keep reading, there's a lot of kings listed. And look at verse number 24. The king of Tirzah. One, all the kings were 30 and 1. Joshua defeated 30, over 30 kings. Come on, somebody. He had courage. He was strong. Every time he had a battle, every time he had a war, he believed God. And over 30 kingdoms fell at the hand of Joshua and his army. My God. Giants still are fallen, people of God, in our day. And God is saying, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, governing spirits, rulers and wickedness in high places. And there are times God's going to put your faith to the test, but when you put your faith in Almighty God, we don't have to be like Joshua, where they had the ark, which represented God. be in the presence of God, being with the people of God. No, we have the Holy One on the inside of us. Amen. We have the greater one on the inside of us than he that is in this world. So every hater, every enemy, every adversary, every opposing force, you got what it takes. But it's going to take having faith under fire. To God be all the glory. Let's look at another scripture of an example of someone having faith under fire. Because we need to understand, God, sometimes I believe we get off track, and sometimes we can lose focus. I heard of A.R. Bernard as I was going to work today. He said he talked to Bishop Tutu. Remember apartheid in South Africa? He said when the people of God, the Christians in South Africa, had to battle against apartheid, they had something to fight for and fight against. But once apartheid was taken down and people had rights over there, Nelson Mandela became the president. Bishop Tutu said the Christians kind of lost focus and kind of lost what they focus or refocus should be about. In other words, God, Christ's assignment now should take over because there's no more civil rights. There's no more civil disunions that they got to fight for or fight against. In other words, they had a cause that they looked to God, and God gave them victory in that cause. But then he was simply saying they kind of lost sight of what it was all about in the first place. And we need to know that it's all about God. God is omnipotent. That simply means God is all-powerful. There is no God that can stand before our God. That's why he wouldn't give Buddha but so many years to live. It doesn't matter that he created a religion. His time was limited. That's why Muhammad can only live but so long. Because God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, is not going to let no other God be beside him. Aside him, there is no other. Yes. Amen. Matter of fact, let's look at this because it blessed me. It kind of has nothing to do with the lesson. But very quickly, go to 1 Samuel chapter number 5. 1 Samuel chapter number 5. We need to, I said it on Sunday, when we realize the God that we serve, we'll stop allowing the devil to put us on the run. Because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. But look at this. Here it is. Hophni and Phinehas are dead. Because, you know, they were just doing ungodly stuff at the temple, and God had to deal with Eli's sons. The Ark of the Covenant is now taken by the Philistines. Eli the priest falls backwards, breaks his neck, and he's dead. Eli is dead. Hophni and Phinehas is dead. The Philistines have the Ark of the Covenant in their possession. 1 Samuel chapter number 5, verse number 1. Listen to what the word says. And the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it in Ebenezer Ashah. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon, that's their God, and set it up by Dagon. And when the Ashah arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was falling on his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him back in his place. You'd think they would have got a hint. Verse number 4. And the next day, when they rose early in the morning, behold, Dagon, their God, was falling upon his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord again. But this time, his head was cut off. And both his palms and hands were cut off. And the stump of Dagon was left by itself. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon did come to Dagon's house and tread upon Dagon and Ashot until this day. That's the God that we serve. Ain't gonna be no God aside our God. Come on, somebody. That's the one true God, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one people of God. So we can talk all this pluralism, There are many ways to God. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one can come to the Father but by and through me. John 14, go read it for yourself, around that sixth verse. And John 10, he said, I am the door. Come on, somebody. I am the door that we go through to get to heaven. There ain't no other way. So don't let this world fool you with their many pluralism, their many God. We got to love the Hindu. We got to love the Buddhists. We got to love the Jehovah's Witness. We have to love our Mormon brothers and sisters. But we got to let them know unequivocally there is one true God. His name is Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. Baptizing in the name of the Father, baptizing in the name of the Son, baptizing in the name of the Holy Ghost, and in the name of Jesus. That's how we do our water baptism. To God be the glory. So Dagon and all those other false gods, those little g gods, cannot stand up to our God. Amen. Exodus. I just gotta get us familiar with the word. We're gonna stay on topic tonight. We're gonna stay with faith under fire. But go to Exodus chapter number 5 also. I need to show you this. Because God had a divine plan of how he wanted his people to live after him and for him. Exodus chapter number 5, verse number 1. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may have a feast in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, that's not what I want. To God be the glory. That's not the one I want. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless his name. Bless his name. To God be all the glory. Thank you, Lord. Well, it wasn't meant to be because, well, hold up. Give me 1 second. I think I may find it because I wanted to see it. When God told Moses to build him an ark, and as they built the sanctuary, they made it a certain way. They built the ark. They made it a certain way. And then God commanded his people to give. That's what I was looking for. When he said build the ark, an ark of gopher wood. No, that was Noah. Yeah, the Ark of the Covenant, where he told them to build the Ark of the Covenant. I can't find it. It wasn't meant to be. To God be the glory. But in other words, as they built the temple, the sanctuary, the tabernacle. Exodus 37, verse number 1. That might be it, Pastor. Thank God for my help me. Yes. Exodus 25. Okay, not Exodus 5. Exodus 25. Thank you, darling. To God be the glory. Yeah, because I wanted to see this and highlight some things of how the church should be in function and operating even today. Yes, that's it. Exodus 25, people of God, verse number 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that give, and let him give willingly. With his heart shall you take his offering. And this is the offering they shall bring me. They're going to bring me gold, silver, brass, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hairs. They're going to bring me red dyes. They're going to bring me spices and ointments and sweet incense. Stones of onyx. They're going to bring me ephods and breastplates. Very valuable stuff. That's how they treated God back then. They brought God their best. And God is asking us to continue to do that today. Bring me the tenth into the storehouse. Verse number 8, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, the pattern of the tabernacle. And then, glory be to God, here it is. Yes. Verse number 10. And they shall make an ark of wood. And it goes on to give specific instruction about the ark of the covenant of God. I needed to show you that before we go to David in 2 Samuel chapter number 6, how God, you saw what they did with the ark as it related to Joshua in the parting of the Jordan. We saw, glory be to God, God giving Moses instruction on how to build the ark with specifics. Now let's look at 2 Samuel chapter number 6, verse number 10. 2 Samuel chapter number 10, verse number 6. We're talking about faith under fire. David was a man after God's own heart. David had great faith under fire. Remember the people of God, every time Goliath came, they would run back and retreat, the giant. And David said, is there not a cause? He said to his brothers in the army, and King Saul, is there not a cause? In other words, God is up to something. It is not time for us to be afraid, even in our day, like it was in David's day. David sensed something. He knew Goliath was a champion. He knew Goliath was undefeated. He knew Goliath intimidated people. But he said, is there not a cause? There's a reason we must defeat this giant. There's a reason Goliath must fall. And we know the story. David took out his sling, 5 smooth stones. He was trained with his sling and stones. And he planted one right in Goliath's head. And giants do fall. This giant went down. And David took his own sword out of his sheath, cut the giant's head off. And the people of God went in and destroyed the Philistines. That was the cause. God wanted them to get what was theirs. And God want you and I to get what's ours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to go for it. We got to possess it. If it's a church building, if it's a ministry, if it's a business, if it's a marriage, if it's a better life or a better lifestyle, if it's your college degree, if it's just higher, if it's better, go and get it. Go and possess it. Pursue it. To God be the glory. It's going to take faith under fire. But my word says you and I can do all things through Christ that gives us strength. So I'm in pursuit of some things. God promised me some things. God showed me some things through his word and through revelation knowledge. And I'm going for it. You know, I don't want to leave this earth saying, man, I gave up on God. I gave up on myself. No, I'm going for it. I know I got some takers on the line tonight. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on your ambitions. Don't give up on your purpose and your assignment. God is looking for his children. Just like in the Old and New Testament alike, they did it. When you read the book of Hebrews, they went for it. And it says some sort of promise afar off. But God is a God. We saw what he did today, God. Can't no God stand before him. But let's look at David. Again, we're talking about the ark. We're looking at 2 Samuel chapter number 6. And let's look at David acting a fool right here. I love King David. He's my kind of guy. Verse number 10. Verse number 9. where do I want to pick this up? Because I need to see. Verse number 9. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? Remember when a servant reached out and touched the ark and God struck him down because it was such a sacred, such a sanctified piece of material, such this ark. God gave only instruction for the Levite and the priest to handle it. And it was on a cart. It was about to fall off. And this man simply just tried to keep it in position. And he touched it. And God struck him down. And David is now afraid. Like, how in the world can we get this thing to us? So David would not remove the ark. Now he's afraid. David would not remove the ark into the city of David, but David carried it aside to the house of Obed-Edom. And the ark of the Lord continued to stay in the house of Obed-Edom. And for months, the Lord blessed the house and the household of Obed-Edom. I'm sorry. I want that blessing to come to my house. David said, oh, no, Obed-Edom. You got this all twisted. Somehow that ark is going to come, and my house is going to be blessed. Let's keep reading. And the ark of the Lord continued to stay at the house of Obed-Edom, and God blessed everything. Verse 12, and it was told to King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom because of the ark of the Lord of the God. So David went and brought the ark of God to the house, from the house of Obed-Edom to the house of David with gladness. And it was so that when they bear the ark of the Lord, every time they walked 6 paces, they would sacrifice and give offerings and take their time getting this ark into the camp. Verse 14, this is why I love King David. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might. Come on. I know I'm talking some praises tonight. And David danced with all his might. And David was girded with the linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord shouting. Come on. I talked about we should praise God on Sunday. Don't let nothing take your praise. And with the sound of trumpet, they were having a party. They lost their minds because the ark of God was coming. And as the ark of God came into the city of David, Micah's, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. There's some people that's going to see you in church. They don't know what you've been through. My wife likes to get in touch with me, but my sister-in-law Janice, when she was here, God bless her soul, she was a praiser. And people don't know what she was walking through, but she would praise. And some people would look and see you dancing hard, see you dance with all your might. And some people would make the assessment, it don't take all that. But they don't know the hell you've been through. They don't know what you survived. They don't know what God brought you over and how God brought you through. They don't know how God delivered you and set you free. They don't know how God gave you a second, third, and fourth chance. Amen, somebody. They don't know the grace of God and the favor of God that's been on you. So when you hear organ and you hear the drum or you hear singing or you hear praise music or you hear us just shouting and dancing and leaping and praising God, make no apology for being a praiser, for being a worshiper, because every now and again you're going to have faith under fire even in church. Some people are going to look at you like, would you please sit down? And they don't know what you're going back home to. They don't know what you're facing. They don't know you just got a stage 3 diagnosis of cancer. They don't know you're in divorce court and you're in foreclosure. They don't know you're trying to fight to keep your mind together. And it's amazing how the people of God sometimes limit one another, and God is saying enough of that. You don't know what people are walking through. And the church has gotten, I mean, the church pastor and I came up in, we would go into a praise for like an hour, half hour, just praising God. They would just praise God. I mean, it was good word, but we weren't afraid to praise. And we still got that, my wife and I, New Creation Church. I told them Sunday, I'm glad I'm part of a praising church. Amen. Don't put me in no dead ministry. Don't put me in, no. If I was in those clubs the first 30 years of my life with all that loud noise in my ear, surely I could be in the church and make a little noise. Amen, somebody. Faith under fire. Faith under fire. My wife preached a message a couple of weeks ago, God has not forgotten you. And I preached, well, actually it was a Bible study, it's your time, it's your turn. And we need to understand that delayed does not mean denied. Sometimes we got to press. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm pressing. I'm stretching. I'm reaching and pursuing. I'm going for better. Is there anybody on this Word Wednesday? You're reaching. You're stretching. You're pressing. Sometimes the stress makes us press. It's a stressful day in which we're living. We're trying to raise the family. We're trying to sustain the marriage. We're trying to make enough money to make ends meet. We're trying to get ahead and save a little something for a rainy day. We're trying to do our best to provide for our families. And sometimes the devil is busy and we find ourselves being stressed out just a little bit. And God says to you and I, that's okay if that stress is going to lead you to the altar. If that pressure or that anxiety is going to lead you to your war room or your prayer closet. It's okay if you're not turning to drugs and alcohol and people leaning on the arm of flesh. But if you're turning to Almighty God in your time of trouble, man, I feel like running. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. He said, call upon me and I will answer you. Bring your prayers and your supplications to me. All of you who are weary, burdened, heavy laden, Jesus said, come unto me and I will give you rest. Sometimes the stress is there, but Jesus said, I will give you rest. I will make you lie down near green pastures. I will bring you beside the still waters. So although we need faith under fire, there's sometimes we got to step back from it all before we get burnt out, before we get overwhelmed. Because life can be, whew, life can sometimes be overwhelming. I'm telling you, it comes from every angle. If you have a sick loved one, if you got a financial dilemma, you're in deep debt. I mean, I went through a battle with cancer a couple of years ago, and those are some of my, come on. Come on, Pastor. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise break. Hallelujah. Glory, God. I love you, Jesus. I magnify your name. I glorify your name. God, there's none like you. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Cancer, God canceled you out in the name of Jesus. What the devil meant for evil, God has turned it around and made it for my good. Whom God has blessed, let no man curse. Yes, God. And I'm a blessed man of God. And I went through that battle with cancer for 2 years. Diagnosed in April of 2015. And today I'm cancer free. I'm a cancer survivor. Glory be to God. I took a colonoscopy and there is no sign, no trace of anything. Glory be to God. Praise my God. God, I give you thanks on tonight. He saved my life, people of God. I said, God spared my life. I told people right after I got well and got out of that hospital and I got back into the sanctuary, I said, you may get tired of me talking about my battle with cancer, but I'm not going to get tired of talking about it. You may get sick of me talking about my experience, but I'm not going to get sick of telling people how good God was to me. Because you guys, you don't know how dark it was. My wife said she heard me way down the hall. I was in so much pain, excruciating pain. And she got mad at the nurse because the nurse was just letting me be in agony. And you'll be amazed at how people would treat you when you're down. But I had a wife that stood up. Come on, husbands. Every husband, can I get an amen from every husband listening tonight? To God be the glory. He who has found a wife found a good thing and has found favor with the Lord. Every wife, you are a good thing. And your husband has found you, and they have found favor with God. And those of you who want to be a wife, God has a husband with your name on it. So me and Pastor Rebecca looking to marry some of y'all off. To God be the glory. But have a little coffee first. Get to know one another. Amen. Go in courtship. Do all that good stuff. Pastor Rebecca and I, we didn't rush into anything. We were friends first. And we thank God 23 years later, we're still together. To God be the glory. Are we still talking about faith under fire? Yes, we are. And I was talking about my wife who gave us a message, God has not forgotten you. I gave us a message, it's your time, it's your turn. That means turn to Genesis chapter number 17. Isaac also had faith under fire. Abraham. Abraham. Genesis chapter number 17, verse number 1. Abraham was the father of faith for a reason. Because even after he got the miracle son of Isaac, in Genesis chapter number 22, he says, bring me your son, your only son. And Abraham was about to slay his son Isaac on the altar. And a voice came from glory saying, Abraham, Abraham, now I know that you will withhold nothing from me. And Abraham looked, and there was a ram in the thicket, and he sacrificed the ram instead of his son Isaac. But God showed me, even as I was preparing this lesson and later in this week, earlier in this week, as I thought about this lesson, I said, God, I don't know of anybody in the Word of God that can match Abraham's level of faith. 100 years old, after waiting for a promise, after not having a child, you give him a child, his wife is 90, he's 100, he waited for 25 years to have this miracle, and you say, give it back to me, and he has faith to do it. That's why he's the father of all. He's the father of faith, because he had great faith. But God says to you and I, oh my God, Keep your finger in Genesis 17, because I'm gonna stick on that thought for a minute. God has not forgotten you. It's your time. It's your turn. But put a something to hold your place in Genesis 17, and go to Luke 17. Go to Luke chapter number 17. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter number 17. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Luke, hallelujah, chapter 17, to God be the glory. Luke 17, verse number 1. Then, okay, yeah, that's it. Hold your place in Genesis 17, and now look at Luke 17, talking about faith under fire and the disciples. I love what they do right here. Listen to what Jesus is talking to them about, forgiveness, faith, and the duty of a Christian. Verse 1, Luke 17 says this, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom the offense come. In other words, people are going to offend you. It were better for him that he would hang a millstone around his neck and be cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to say, I repent, I'm sorry, you shall forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. I love it. Because, I mean, we're human. Can we talk tonight? We're human. And when somebody do something to you that's wrong or disrespectful or that's not right, maybe one time you're going to take it and they're going to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. You're going to say, okay. And they come back and do something similar, the same thing, you might say, okay, again. But if they do this thing and keep doing it like seven times in a day and apologize seven times, the disciples said, increase our faith. Because I don't know how far you can push me. Look at verse number 6. And the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Faith as a mustard seed. So God is telling you and I tonight, faith under fire, we don't even have to have the kind of faith Abraham had. If you go read in Romans chapter number 4, it said he was fully persuaded. It says that he did not waver. He believed God. And we got to get there. But he said if we have faith as a mustard seed, we will be able to speak to a sycamore tree and say, be rooted up and it'll be planted in the sea. Amen, somebody. Amen. Now go to Genesis as I close out. Genesis chapter 17, because I need to share this thought before we go down from this place. To God be the glory. Amen. We got about 7 minutes left. To God be the glory. Genesis 17, verse number 1. And Pastor preached a powerful word, reminding us that God has not forgotten us. Because sometimes, you know, we're simply saying, when God? How long, God? Come on, I know I'm not the only one. I know the scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And I think it's one of the Psalms. He said, I have fainted except to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But waiting is not easy. Long suffering is not an easy thing to do. Suffer for a long period of time. So sometimes, you know, Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour which the Son of Man shall return. The Father, only the Father knows and have reserved that for himself. So there's some things we, you and I, are not going to know until it happens. Oh, glory. I felt the Holy Ghost right there. If God has shown you something in a vision or in a dream, stick with it. Stay the course. Don't give up on that thing. It can happen, even if it happens at the last second, wouldn't it be worth it? It would say that God, let God be true and let every man be a liar. Amen. Amen. So, and God, I'm not saying God going to let you wait to the last minute or when you're about to leave this earth. That's not the kind of God we serve. But he is saying there's a due season. There's a set time. There's an appointed time that God has determined. And he alone has determined it. There's a Kairos moment for you and me. That means God perfect timing. That's why I say he's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Because we, if we're not careful, we can operate out of the permissive will of God instead of the perfect will of God. Pastor, what do you mean the permissive will of God versus the perfect will of God? We kind of want to stay in the perfect will of God. Because when we're in the perfect will of God, we don't bring trouble on ourselves. But when we're in the permissive will of God, God won't sometimes stop you. God will say, okay, you had to have that husband. You had to have that job. You had to have those set of friends. I'm not going to come in and force you to do anything. I'm going to give you an unction. I'm going to give you a leading through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you shepherds and pastors that's going to teach you and tell you the truth. There's safety in a multitude of counsel. If you come, they will counsel you. They will guide you. But if you see red flags, if you see warning signs, if you see alerts, and you still, out of the permissive will of God, go and do your own thing, God says, I hope you learn from your mistakes. Amen, somebody. That's every Christian. That's every believer. No, we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. But it's called repent. Repent simply means you start heading in another direction. You don't stay in sin. You don't stay in mess. Amen, somebody. I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but that was for somebody tonight. Amen. Genesis 17, verse number 1, God has not forgotten about you. And when Abram, his name is no longer Abraham, but it's Abram now. And when Abram was 99 years old, 24 years later from when God first told him, I told you God has not forgotten about you and me. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be you perfect. That's what I was talking about, the perfect will of God. Remember they went to the permissive will of God where he said, go into your handmaiden Hagar. Amen, somebody. I said Abraham even went into the permissive will of God. That's why we're not perfect. Abraham messed up. Sarah messed up. But then they got back into the perfect will of God. God says, walk before me perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and you will multiply and be exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, isn't that a sign of humility? I got to close out, but Abraham, no, he messed up when he went into Hagar. Ishmael was not the covenant promise like Isaac. Even though God said, I'm going to bless Ishmael also, Ishmael became a great nation. The Ishmaelites, remember they took Joseph down to Pharaoh. So the Ishmaelites were out of Ishmael. Abram fell on his face because God was giving him a second chance. People, God, sometimes that's all we need, another chance to get it right. So when God gives you the opportunity to have faith under fire, sometimes we got to show him that, God, you can trust me. God, you can rely and depend on me. Because there are times where we're going to feel inadequate. The prophet Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. That means I'm not holy. And God says, I'm sending you. Jeremiah said, I'm a child. I'm too immature to handle this task. He said, don't say you're a child. Before you were in your mother's womb, I called you. I knew you. And God is saying, when we have faith under fire, he'll show us. He will develop us. He will nurture and guide and lead us. Verse number 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be the father of many nations. Neither shall your name be no longer called Abram, but it shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations I have made you. God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. God gave Abraham another chance. And God is saying, as we continue to have faith under fire, he will also give us another opportunity to go into the perfect will and not stay in the permissive will of God, like so many believers. God gives us free will, but he don't want us over in that permissive will. He wants us to stay in his perfect will. Father, I thank you for your word tonight, faith under fire. Continue to minister to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Sunday at New Creation Church, February 11th, 12:30 p.m., Pastor Rebecca is officially launching her book on site, Man Problems, No More Broken Hearts. Please come out and purchase a copy of the book. Show your love and show your support toward Pastor Rebecca Simmons. She's going to have a word from the Lord. Oh, it's going to be so powerful. It's going to be so powerful. Bring somebody, buy a book, buy several books. If you know someone with man problems, maybe a wife, maybe a mother, maybe a young girl struggling, buy her a copy. Buy him a copy. They're only $15 a piece. So come out and support. We're going to have light refreshments around the 3 o'clock hour. If you can't come to the 12:30 service, come to the official book launch around 2:30, 3 o'clock. She's going to be signing and autographing books. It's going to be powerful this Sunday. Please sow us a seed. Give us an offering, nccmonline.org. Any amount, we would love it, $5, $10, $20, $100. Whatever the Lord leads you to sow is going to good use. You're sowing into good ground. God bless you. I love you. Hopefully we'll see many of you on Sunday. God bless. Good night, everyone. God bless you.